Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I hope you've been enjoying it thus far. We had a good interview with Derek Hunter, and we've tackled a lot of this breaking news about Liz Cheney. And if you want to check any of this out, you can go to gracecurlyshow.com. The podcasts are always available to you. I haven't done a lot of talk today about COVID. The numbers right now are insanely low. And I say that with, I'm very happy. I saw yesterday, I think it was the first day since June of last year. June of 2020, where we had no deaths in Massachusetts. Is that correct, Jared?
Which is
great, great news. Even on CNN today, John Berman was talking about how the numbers are looking like there is a light at the end of the tunnel. But not everyone in the Biden administration feels that way. And in fact, Dr. Impending Doom is here to tell you that this is not over yet. This is Rochelle, cut 15.
With regard to camp, I have a 16-year-old. Every day, every year, he comes home from camp and he writes the number of days until he returns to camp the next year. This year, it got to zero and I told him he wasn't going. I want our kids back in camp. We now have 38,000 new infections on average per day. Last May 11th, it was 24,000, and we sent a lot of kids home and camps were closed. The camp guidance is intended to get our kids to camp and allow them to stay there.
I don't understand this mindset of these experts and Democrat hacks who are trying to make us feel like, I get it. I'm on your side. It's like you were the woman 3 weeks ago who warned us of impending doom. And since then, all the cases have dropped down. You know, Biden accused Texas of Neanderthal thinking. Texas's cases are again dropping down. So this whole reach of, my son wants to go to camp. Can't you see how much I understand. I get it. I'm on your side. It's so bogus. Thank you so much, though, Dr. Rochelle.
When the naysayers neighed, you picked up your pace. You said, nothing's going to stop me, so get out of my face. I'm having adventures all over the place. Rochelle.
Thank you, Rochelle. We appreciate your input on the COVID camp situation. I think she thought that was a really dramatic story, too. I'm not trying to make fun of it so much because, you know, it stinks for all the kids who couldn't go to camp, but you don't have to set it up like you're telling us the biggest sob story ever. Then I had to tell him he wasn't going to camp because there was impending doom that will not come. All right. Now, on a separate note here, before I go to the lines, I did want to mention that April saw the most illegal immigrants stopped at the border in 21 years. I'm going to try to get someone on tomorrow to talk about this. The number of illegal immigrants apprehended at the southern border hit a 21-year high last month. And of course, it's Donald Trump's fault because the Biden administration proudly reversed all of his policies. And now this is happening. So somehow that reflects poorly on Orange Man Bad. I don't get it, but the numbers are there. And I know what you guys are thinking. This is a disaster. And yes, it is. Of course it is. But the Biden administration knows how to handle disasters. So I have this headline from NPR that's going to make you all feel so much better. Immigration agencies ordered not to use term illegal alien under new Biden policy. First of all, NPR, I don't know if you didn't get the memo. It's the under the new Biden-Harris policy. Let's get that right. And here's the policy. The terms illegal alien and assimilation are out, replaced by undocumented non-citizen and integration. The new guidance...
Oh, this is going to sound wonky.
The new guidance is laid out in a pair of detailed memos sent Monday by the heads of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Customs and Border Protection, part of a broader effort by the Biden-Harris... I have to keep adding Harrison because NPR is just being, so yesteryear. By the new Biden administration policy to roll back the previous administration's hardline policies and build what they call a more humane immigration system. Humane immigration system is code for chaos at the border. And I do want to play DHS Secretary Mayorkas. He had something to say about the border today. Cut five.
So I'm curious what you meant last week when you said the border is closed.
What I meant is precisely that. The border is closed. We are expelling single adults and families under the Title 42 authority that rests with the Center for Disease Control. We decided as an administration, in furtherance of the president's direction, to administer our immigration laws of this country in an orderly and safe and humane way, that we will not expel unaccompanied children.
It's crazy to me that every single thing they try to do in wanting to make Trump look bad backfires in almost a hilarious fashion. I mean, they had to reverse all his policies. Now this is a disaster. And it goes with everything. You know, they can't just, someone put it really well today. They said, if Biden had just taken a nap for his first 100 days, we'd be fine. We'd be coasting. The economy would be roaring back. You know, maybe more states would have let people take their masks off because they wouldn't be going off of the commander in chief who's walking around picking dandelions with his mask on. Who knows how much we'd be flourishing. But this guy is like Leroy Jenkins. He just shows up and ruins everything. If you don't know who that is, I encourage you to Google it. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Janet, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Janet.
Hi, I'm Grace. I'm off point here because I'm talking Jimmy Carter.
Okay? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
When Jimmy Carter was president, when Jimmy Carter was president, I was running restaurants and I was the accountant. At that time, you could not be in business. We were paying 22% interest on our mortgages for the restaurant. So anyone who looks forward to paying 22% interest, just keep plugging along for Biden and you'll be on your way to paying nothing but interest and unable to buy anything that you need to run your business.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say.
Janet, thank you so much for the call. And the craziest part about it, and I know I keep repeating this, but I think it's worth repeating, is Jimmy Carter didn't think that was going to be the outcome of all of his disastrous policies. I think he had good intentions. That's a very nice way of putting it. But I believe that. With Biden, I feel like every time a disaster happens, he does the old, well, I'm from the government and I'm here to help. But it's like, no, you created the disaster. Be like if I went into your house, broke your stove and said, and guess what? I have a stove right here that I'll install for only $2,000. And you're like, wait a second, there was nothing wrong with the stove until you broke it. If that makes sense. John, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Well, hi, Grace. Congratulations on your show.
Thank you very much.
I guess going back now, we don't really know these votes turn out bad until hindsight, but I voted for starting a string of poor votes, as it turns out. I voted for George H.W. Bush for president in 1988. We couldn't have known at that time, you know, he was basically essentially getting the job based on what Reagan did. And, you know, the Republicans lined up behind him in the primary so he could end up beating Mike Dukakis. And it turned out to be a bad decision almost right away because one of the things he did in his first term, in his only term, was he agreed with the Democrats to raise taxes.
Yeah, and that was his hard line, was that, you know, I will not raise taxes on anyone. And he made it quotable, and then he reversed on that, which that's how they kind of got him out after one term, because it's easy to get someone out if they promise one thing and do the exact opposite.
Yeah, I mean, he was probably going to lose that election anyway. It was, there was a lot of other issues and so forth when he ran in 92 against Bill Clinton. Probably was going to lose anyway, but that was sort of, you know, like icing on the cake to say you lied about that, and he, there was nothing he could do. And by the way, he took a lot of heat when he reversed, when he went back on his no new taxes pledge. He did a lot of heat.
But John, can I ask you a question? I'm sorry to interrupt. Would you have rather Dukakis? Because I know Howie Carr is listening in his office right now, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask that.
No, so the mistake, and who knows what would have happened with whoever we... So the mistake we made, I obviously voted for George Bush twice in 1988, once in the primary. So the mistake I made was I voted for him once in the primary, and then I voted for him in the general election. Now, voting for him in the primary, he ended up beating other Republicans that were running. Now, probably who I should have voted for, it was, and Howie would probably agree, or other people who voted then, it was a guy named Jack Kemp. Now, he ran in the primary, and unfortunately, that was going to be George Bush's year to win because he was probably more well-known. Now, whether or not Jack Kemp would have turned out to be, like, he would not have raised taxes, that was, you know, no question about that, because that was something that he really believed. Now, I don't know if foreign policy-wise, the problem was George Bush set into place really more the foreign policy for the next, like, 30 years or
exactly
however many years it was.
And John, you know what's interesting about what you're saying, too, is that when you do vote for someone, and a lot of times, we've all held our nose at one point to vote for somebody, but a lot of times, on paper, someone can be great and they can be, you know, they can seem like everything you want. And then they get in there and they either soften on some things or they go a different way. And I think that was a lot of people's fears with Donald Trump was, yeah, he talks a big game. He says everything Republicans want to hear, but he might get in there and start making deals with Chuck Schumer and turn his back on us. And out of all of the politicians who you'd expect to do it, it probably would have been Trump. He's a showman. He says anything for ratings, anything for votes. But he got in there, and he was the most conservative president, at least of my lifetime. And, you know, that's one. And the other part about Trump, and I was talking about this the other day with someone, I said, Trump's big advantage, and he made some mistakes. I think the first mistake was the debate where he didn't let Biden talk. But Trump's big advantage with the media was that they never gave him a honeymoon phase. If they had just given him a little time, people would have, you know, you get tired. You vote for somebody and you go, ah, they weren't as good as I thought they were going to be. But Trump always had us on his side because he was always under attack. And I think when you look back at certain presidents you voted for, and John was just making that point, it's like you vote for them for one reason. And then after a while you go, oh, you kind of backed out. You weren't as tough as I thought. But I don't think anyone had that take with Trump. All right, guys, we will be back. I enjoy talking about this. We have a little bit more to get to. We have some sound I want to roll through before producer's picks. So don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Speaking of, we were talking a little bit about ratings earlier with Ellen DeGeneres. Stephen Colbert's ratings, I cannot imagine, based off the tiny bit I see on Twitter, that his ratings are doing very well. But he had Michelle Obama on, because now he doesn't even pretend to be a comedian. He just does these interviews with, like, Joe Biden and Dr. Jill and Obama and Michelle Obama. And he just tells them how wonderful they are and how much he loves them. Let's listen to cut three. This is Michelle Obama.
Low-grade depression, mm-hmm. you call it. And I have a two-part question, which is, one is, it's very common for people this year, very common mm-hmm. in general, but especially this year. How did you cope with it, and why just low-grade? Because like, I get
not?
The high octane.
Massive.
I get the high octane.
Yeah, right,
this year.
Right. Well, you know, over the course of your life, as you know, this is a part of life. You know, nobody rides life on a high. And I think it's important for young people to know that. You know, it's like, no, you're not going to feel great all the time. And there are moments in all of our lives, particularly in the middle of a pandemic and unrest, racial unrest.
See, she had me until the racial unrest part, but Jared made a good point. There is racial unrest, and a lot of it is manufactured by the Democrats. They want us to believe that America is a racist country. And no one has been better at that than the Obamas, cut four.
You've seen created in Republican politics this sense that, you know, white males are victims. Like, they're the ones who are, like, under attack, which obviously doesn't jibe with both history and data and economics.
Attitudes about my presidency among whites in northern states are very different from whites in southern states.
Because one side, all men, all white.
But she is a typical white person.
Racism.
Sounds a little racist to me. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Allergy season is here, and you need the Thunderstorm air purifier. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACE to save $10 off their lowest sale price. That's EdenPure.com, code word GRACE. Jared Diglio is on the board. What is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
What's your favorite Biden administration euphemism? Is it a border challenge, overheated economy, or a supply crunch?
A supply crunch. It makes me think of, like, I don't know, a good snack that I'm going to have. You need yourself a supply crunch.
I'll get you a supply crunch and some Sour Balls and a Werther's. No joke. No joke. 71% of the audience feels that border challenge is their favorite Biden administration euphemism. Supply crunch polling second at 19% and 10% in third place for overheated economy.
Yeah, I will say that border challenge is the one they've pushed the hardest. I mean, Politico actually sent out a memo to its staffers saying, please don't use the word crisis. It does not meet the definition of a crisis. And if you look up the things that do meet Politico's definition of a crisis, you will be wowed, because they have labeled everything a crisis over the last few years, the last four something years. But the border does not meet it. I mean, there's record high numbers. There's just an influx of illegal immigrants coming over the border. A lot of them have coronavirus. But once again, it's a challenge. It's a situation. But it is not a crisis. I don't want pain and suffering for this country. I don't like Joe Biden, but I don't want people to learn the real hard way, because pain and war is not something that we need. We will be back with Producer's Picks, and I actually have a story for Producer's Picks, if that's okay. We'll find out if Jared lets me get it in on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. All right, so one headline I see today reads, job openings hit record high, 8.12 million. No idea why there are so many jobs and people are still choosing to be on unemployment. I don't have any evidence to suggest it's because the unemployment is so generous that people aren't incentivized to go back to work. Of course, there's no evidence. Again, you know, 8.12 million jobs opened. It's a record high, but no data. No data. It's a bummer. Now, on to something else here. I wanted to add this story in right before Producer's Picks. I just wanted... Actually, you know what? No. This is a story that deserves to be in Producer's Picks. So hit it, Jared.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day. Producer's Picks.
Producer's Picks is the part of the show where Jared goes through all of the big stories of the day, and he informs us. He keeps us abreast of all of the situations. Now, Jared, all the challenges, all of the challenges, the crunches, everything in between. Jared, take it away.
All right. Well, speaking of overheated, the overheated planet, John Forbes Kerry was before a congressional committee today, and there was a lot that came out of it. He admitted that solar panels are made in China by Muslim Uyghur slaves, and, you know, that's kind of a bummer, but, you know, the Biden administration is looking into to sanctioning that. Potentially, he denied leaking anything to the foreign minister of Iran about Israel intelligence. But I think the money sound cut that came out of it was this one.
I was just asking my staff, I thought,
We originally, I think the hearing was set from 10 to noon, and I can push to 12:30, but I am flying commercial and have a flight that I have to make, so I have to leave here by 12:30.
Welcome to the world of the unwashed, John.
You have a flight.
Secretary Czar.
Not a flight. I can see the carbon emissions in my mind as you said that. A flight. Don't you mean a canoe? Don't you mean a raft? Don't you mean you're going to go on horseback?
That was also a very humble brag to let people know he was flying commercial this time.
Oh, yeah, I have a flight. I just have to catch it or else I'll have to get on the flying squirrel. And you know how Teresa hates when I go on the flying squirrel.
I'm flying commercial. Maybe even a middle seat.
Jared, I get what you're saying, that he's trying to brag about flying commercial. But he's also just bragging about... even if he's bragging about flying commercial, he's still flying, which is not part of the Green New Deal. Flying is a no-no.
Yeah, where does he have to go, by the way? Is he going to go to Martha's Vineyard to get ready for the wind farm?
Good question. How to cautiously hug in the pandemic now that it's allowed in the UK. I wanted to read this story for Producer's Picks because I wanted to get everyone's take on this. First of all, CNN has this idea. They really have a skewed idea of what people care about. That is evident in their constant coverage of Liz Cheney. They've mentioned her like 6,000 times.
Cheney watch.
Yeah, it's really, really, really weird how obsessed they are with this civil war in the GOP. And then their other priority is watching Fox around the clock and keeping us up to date on what Fox is talking about. But they also have a very skewed idea of how people have been living in this pandemic. They have the Joe Biden idea that, like, when July 4th happens and we all have a small gathering and we eat a hot dog, it's going to be our first gathering back since it started. When in reality, people have been living normal lives for a very long time. Yes, we're all frustrated when we go into the grocery store and have to put on a mask. But in our own personal lives, people have been meeting up. People have been hanging out. That's how we all survived this nonsense. Now, according to CNN, how to cautiously hug in the pandemic now that it's allowed in the UK. I never thought I'd be living in a world where hugs were either allowed or not allowed, but that is where we're at. So this is what they write. Yep, we can hug each other again. Next week, UK officials will give residents the green light to resume cautious hugging. It's curious guidance for Brits who are famously reserved. That seems a little bit like a stereotype, but it's a milestone that benefits both fully vaccinated and unvaccinated people who've missed physical touch during the pandemic. Then they go on to say they talk to some experts about what a safe snuggle looks like. If an unvaccinated person wants to hug someone else, I think they should wear a mask, one of the experts says, and make it brief. If you're fully vaccinated, though, you have even fewer guidelines when it comes to contact. Here's how the experts say you can keep yourself safe while embracing. A cautious hug is one that's outdoors without face-to-face contact that doesn't last very long, the physicians say. Anyone who's unvaccinated should use caution when hugging someone else, and they should wear a mask while doing it.
In my safe space.
In my safe space.
Who besides Andrew Cuomo hugs face to face?
Well,
like who? I mean, I understand, like, maybe you kind of can brush cheeks if you, depending on the angle. But like, it's not like two Rams fighting over something, butting heads.
Well, at that point, like, if you're going to hug someone, and you're like, okay, I'm not fully vaccinated. They are fully vaccinated. I have my mask on. I have my gloves on. I have my face shield. I'm going to go in at the 45-degree angle. I'm going to try to avoid any breathing on them. It's like, at that point, maybe just give them a hey, what's up? Maybe the hug is, you've lost the hug. You know, the moment's passed.
It's going to be like Dale and his brother at the Catalina wine mixer.
Yes.
They don't know how to hug each other. And they,
talk about an awkward hug. I'm all for, honestly, I'm a big handshaker, you know, just handshake, move along, especially at parties and stuff. I've never been big on hugging everybody. But if I'm going to hug someone, I don't want to have to go through CNN's checklist of what's allowed. The cautious hug. Yikes. All right, that was my one story for Producer's Picks.
All right, well, speaking of CNN, when they don't have Cheney on the brainy.
Very good.
They covered another massively important story. Houston authorities have captured a man who allegedly evaded police while housing a Bengal tiger in the yard, but the tiger remains on the lamb.
Joe Exotic? I thought he was in jail.
Oh, close. So who does CNN go to for this tiger commentary but the one and the only...
Carol Baskin?
Carol Baskin.
I'm extremely worried about what happens with this tiger and the people around it, because the people who were involved in buying and selling and owning and transporting this tiger have proven that they are absolutely reckless individuals with no concern for the people around them or for the animal involved. No tiger belongs in a backyard or basement.
All right, so...
I have questions.
I have to... tell you something about Carol Baskin.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. When Tiger King came out, everyone was really watching it at the beginning of quarantine. In fact, when I think of it, it takes me back to that time. And I watched it with my parents and my sister. And my mom was kind of watching it, but she was also doing other things, like she was doing laundry and stuff like that. So she was just popping in and out. But since it's happened, she seems to have this interest in it, yet she doesn't really know that much about it. So the other day I came home and she said to me, did you hear Joe Exotica and Barbara Boskin are friends again? And I had to take a second and I was like, okay, so she doesn't mean, she means Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin, not Barbara Boskin. But whatever, I understood that. Then I get this text the other day, Jared, from my mother. Carol Baskin coming up on the Fox Business Channel with Stewart around 11:40. She's starting her own cryptocurrency. Tune in. So the fact that you brought up Carol Baskin without giving me the heads up to tell my mom, I just hope she's tuning in.
To the moon. Get in the Bascoin now.
No, you know what she said? It's she said something like it's perfect or something. But yeah, cryptocurrency.
What is she, Catwoman from the 1966 Batman series?
I love a Joe Exotic update in the news.
All right, well, we've talked a lot about Joe Biden, his lack of, you know, presence, his lack of prescience, his lack of really being a leader. His leadership has been wanting. Do you want to know what a real leader looks like? Cover your ears, Democrats. Look no further than Vladimir Putin. This guy got vaccinated and then scored 9 goals in a celebrity hockey game in Sochi. That is what I want from a leader.
I thought you were going to say Ron DeSantis. Did you see the polls that came out for Ron DeSantis? They're stellar in Florida.
They should be stellar in Florida, yes. Vladimir Putin, I'm sure the team was definitely playing defense against him. He scored 9 goals in a celebrity hockey game in Sochi, competing against other hockey stars, businessmen, and politicians. Putin's team won 13-9. So
they put up a little bit of a fight to keep,
to keep
the drama alive.
To keep the drama alive.
I gotta imagine that's not even fun for Putin, though. Like, if you deep down know people are letting you win, how do you really enjoy yourself? Do the goals still feel the same? It reminds me of one time how we did a segment on Kim Jong-un and we started going over some of the crazy facts that they put out in North Korea about him. Some of them are about him. Some of them are about his dad. So I can't remember which one this was, but there was a fact like Kim Jong-un is the only person in history to play a perfect round of golf. His score was 18. and then there was wacky things like he invented the cheeseburger or crazy things, and I was just like, wow, that is strange.
I can't believe he invented a variant of a cheeseburger.
He's a big Swiss cheese guy. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Huge fan of Swiss cheese.
I call this the 12x12.
He doesn't everyone should Google that Kim Jong-un facts. You'd be amazed.
All right, today is NFL schedule release day. Yeah, the league is super woke. Why should we care? Well, there's one reason of note. The Patriots schedule basically has completely leaked, as all these schedules do. But week 4 of the season, Sunday night, October 3rd, Sunday Night Football, Thomas Edward Patrick Brady will be making his return to Foxborough to play the New England Patriots.
Ooh.
Sunday Night Football, Week 4, October 3rd, Tom Brady and Gronk, but mostly Tom Brady, back in town playing for the first time against the New England Patriots. And if he wins that game, he will be only the third quarterback to beat every single team or all 32 teams in the NFL, joining Brett Favre and Drew Brees.
That is going to be when he enters the stadium. That's going to be wild. That's some of my favorite stuff, though, is when a person who... And you know what? You know what, Jared? You would understand this because Chara played the Bruins this year.
Yes.
And it would have been so cool if they were fans, because you know people would have given Chara such respect. I mean, the guy was with our team for so long. He's class act. People would have loved it. It would have been one of those, you know, viral videos. But because of the COVID and ruins everything, they didn't have that. But imagine Tom Brady walking in there. We get a bad rap in Boston, the Boston Patriots, as Ed Markey once said. But when our players, you know, give us a lot of wins and things like that and a lot of good memories, we tend to be pretty respectful when they come back.
Oh, no. Tom Brady. There's a picture of Tom Brady next to a picture of JFK in every single house in New England. I swear.
I don't know about the JFK. I think that's like
Oh, no. It's still there.
I know what you're saying.
Oh, it's still there. It may be in a basement wood paneled bar.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's there.
It's there somewhere. Yes,
there's
I would agree.
There's Bobby Orr, there's JFK, and there's Tom Brady.
And there's Grace Curley above the mantle. When we get back, we'll be talking to Howard Lawrence Carr, and he has tons to tell us, and we'll probably go through some more of this sound. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. I love the Thunderstorm. I had it on all last night. It's just nice if you throw it on right before you go to bed, because it just clears out all of the odor. If you cooked that night, if you have some musty smell, if your basement's damp, whatever that lingering smell is, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier will eliminate it. And it's especially great right now because it's allergy season, right, Jared?
Yes, it's been wonderful for my allergies. I have seasonal allergies, but you just plug in the Thunderstorm, turn the knob to your desired setting, and within minutes, the air around you is purified. It gets rid of allergens, gets rid of pollutants, it gets rid of viruses, and anything that you just don't want. You're breathing clean air, and you can have one in your car as well. It plugs into your USB port with a little cable. You can have clean air anywhere you want to have clean air.
And it's a small device, but it does not require air filters, and it's a very strong device. So you see some of these that are huge, bulky, expensive. This is small, compact, but man, it gets the job done. Just use code word GRACE and you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. This is the lowest price available. So go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner and put in code word GRACE at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner and code word GRACE. We will be back with the captain. Don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show.
Wearing a tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
You know, I've gone through this whole show staring at a sound cut and not having an excuse to play it, but if there's a sound cut of John Kerry and Howie Carr is in the studio, I think that's a good enough excuse. Let's play cut 13, please, Jared.
How can you assure us or ensure that this quest that we're on, that slave labor coming out of China, where genocide is taking place as we speak, are never a part of the climate solution in the United States?
You're absolutely correct. It is a problem. Xinjiang province not only produces some of the solar panels that we believe are being, in some cases, produced in forced labor by Uyghurs, but also there are a significant amount of rare earth mineral that's used in the solar panels themselves. It is my understanding that the Biden administration is right now in the process of assessing whether or not that will be the target of sanctions. I've heard some discussion about it. I'm not privy to where that decision is at this point in time.
I am privy to the kind of wine that I'm having for dinner this evening. It's going to be chilled and it's going to be charged to the taxpayers.
I will be signing menus when I leave.
Rare earth minerals. There's a great piece in the Wall Street Journal about that today. You know what? The fossil fuels, no one country controls them. The top three countries, one of which is the United States, control 50% of them. The rare earth minerals that you need for all these batteries and solar panels and stuff, would you care to guess what percentage of those minerals are controlled by China?
Oh, it's got to be pretty high.
80%.
Oh, man.
So this is a really good idea to become even more dependent on China, because it really worked out well with the Wuhan virus.
Yeah, so remember that when you drive by the gas station and you see a long line. I just remember, well, this is all part of the plan.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about the Green New Deal. We got a guy coming on tomorrow who's talking about how it's going to be impossible to get these wind turbine and solar panels, the delivery, because nobody wants them in their backyard. And then we got this whole thing with the rare earth minerals today we can talk about. But, Grace, there's something else. I'll give you a hint. You may not have seen this today. This was just mentioned in passing in the New York Post, and my head started spinning when I read it. Do you know how many people John Kerry has working for him in his phony baloney job? You're not going to believe this.
I know it's more than Liz Cheney, and she has about 30-something.
It is.
I believe.
She had it, but she's like a congressperson. I mean, she doesn't do anything except complain, but she has a constitutional job. He's just got a make-work job.
What do you call being climate czar, good sir? That's a real job.
I believe he prefers to be called the envoy.
Oh, right, right.
It's the French. Envoy.
Okay, so is it the, I'm going to say 45.
That's it.
45
hacks. When he was running for president in 2004, he just needed one guy to handle his comb. Why does he need 45 people? You know, we're going to have the congressman on who came up with this number, just because I can't deal with it.
And you know what's so funny? When we have VIPs coming in now, and that's one thing that VIPs always say. They're like, oh, there's only 5 people here in this office making the show run. It's like, well, yeah, we're not we can't have chancellors and envoys here.
Right.
We gotta make money.
Yeah, and comptrollers and provosts and assistant associate deans.
The downside of not having all those people, though, is that people who do work for you actually have to do work.
Yeah. But it makes the time go faster, I think. I mean, what do those 45 people do every day?
They're doing the George Costanza. They're looking busy. All right, guys, Howie has a great show planned. He's going to be talking all about this. Green New Deal is on the menu at the Chanticleer. So don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.